Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is March 16th, and this is the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. And welcome back to the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky. I hope you guys are having a great week, a great day. Happy St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. Can't believe that's already here, but it is. Hopefully you're doing something fun. So in this episode, we'll just jump right into things. Things are not great right now in the world of the Bruins, especially after Saturday's debacle, that horrendous 4-0 loss to the Rangers on home ice just was pathetic. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Just pathetic. One of the worst hockey. I mean, it's not as big as, but the game felt as slow and as bad a Bruins game as I've seen since the 2016 Winter Classic, actually. That was like one of the last Bruins games I remember that I was like, holy crap, they just didn't show up. And that's how I felt on Saturday. Cause again, Bruce Cassidy, Bruins coach teams don't typically do that. They always come back at some point. That's what I expected to happen on Saturday. Didn't happen at all. But obviously the Bruins now have two games against the Penguins. They did have one Monday night. This is being recorded before that. We'll see what happens then. But in this episode, Connor and I got into when are the Bruins shaking things up? And what does shake things up mean? Because something needs to happen. Something really needs to happen now. This is not like, oh, you know, this is no big deal, just a little slump. This has been a while. And this Eastern Division, again, you don't have the Lightning, you don't have the Leafs, but you have a lot of competitive teams. The Islanders look like a wagon. The Capitals have been rolling. The Penguins have been solid. The Flyers have really not been that great at all this year. And like, you're waiting for them to sort of turn it up, especially like, you know, Carter Hart. So that something has to change. And Connor and I get into that in this video a lot. Before we get into the episode, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, happy March Madness, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. It's free. It's free to sign up. Why would you not do this? Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50%. I repeat, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Use that promo code CLNS50 to receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Connor Ryan. And we're here with Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing swell. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is the earliest we've recorded a podcast in a while. And this is kind of embarrassing because it's 10 a.m. Not that early.
Struggling. We're looking like the Bruins on Saturday.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Pretty much how we're all feeling. So
our matinees are 10 in the morning. Our matinees when we record a podcast. So that's our game time. Also, before we get into the podcast, you tweeted out a picture of Dunkin' cereal. How was that?
I'll be honest with you. It was what I expected. It was extremely chocolatey. My teeth were hurting afterwards. So I think if I had a second bowl, they might have fallen out, which you expect, right? It's
true.
Par for the course for most like sugary cereal. it was pretty much just like Reese's Puffs is what it was. But again, Reese's Puffs, pretty good. So, didn't really taste too you know, actually like a cup of coffee, which is shocking that, you know, it wasn't actually like a cup of coffee, but.
Can't believe it.
Yeah. You know, it's like when you have like Cookie Crisp for the first time, you think it's going to be straight up like just like chocolate chip cookies and it's not. It tastes like
it's pretty damn close.
They try, but like when you're a kid, you buy, you're like, oh, you see the commercial, like, oh shit, like, you just a bowl full of cookies and you have them, like, all right, well, this is chocolate, but you know, I'm kind of let down here a little bit. So I don't want to say let down with Dunkin' Donuts because, you know, I'm working on that sponsorship, but
can't say that.
As a whole, does the job. It was what I expected. I saw it. I was like, I gotta get these, right? It's the clout's too strong. So don't regret it. Will I get another one? Debatable, but glad I got it.
When they sponsor you though, you'll be eating that every day.
Yeah. We'll have to go back and edit this clip out if they sponsor
yeah.
me.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I'm getting.
I'll edit it in post. What's funny is, you mentioned the Cookie Crisp it's funny when I was younger, and this probably goes for most kids. You know, they have the commercials where they put like the stamp of healthy approval on it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
something that they make it like it seems healthy. So you can say to mom and dad at the grocery store, like, hey, that's technically healthy. Can I have that for breakfast?
I mean, that's the smartest thing that like Honey Nut Cheerios did. It was like, oh, it's good for your heart. But like, if you eat like more than two bowls, you like literally, you might have to like go to the hospital because it's just straight up sugar. Like it makes you feel better as you like knock out like three bowls. But
to me, the best cereals to keep was Cocoa Puffs. That was the one. That was, to me, Cocoa Puffs were it. That was the cereal.
CT Crunch. It's the goat. Cinnamon
Toast Crunch. Yeah. That is a good one.
I haven't had it in like five years, but it's one of those ones you have like as a kid. Then you go to college and have like an unlimited amount, like in those little like crank things. You know, oh, wow. Like,
yes, the cranks.
Yeah. This is not going to stop me from getting like five bowls now and have like a sugar rush before class, but, That I think that's the goat for me.
I'm going to be honest though. UMass is number one dining. So I never had to get cereal in the dining hall. It was always good.
You guys never talk about that you guys have
never. Nope. Never. Yeah. It's very underrated. We never talk about that. Yeah. Never talk about the number one dining. But yes, I never had cereal in college ever. Like I have it now in my house. Cause I don't feel like cooking breakfast. I'm a big Golden Grahams guy. That's a solid, like that's a good solid one. And Cheerios. I love Cheerios. Give me regular Cheerios. I love Cheerios. Just. That's how I grew up. I like Cheerios. Maybe it makes me a bland person, but I enjoyed them.
Tried and true classic.
But yeah, no, it's funny. You know, before we get into Bruins, kind of people are like, when are they going to talk about how bad this team is?
Yeah, I think people are really enjoying the cereal discourse.
I think people would rather talk about cereal than talk about Bruins. You know how I knew I was getting older? And probably older as in like becoming an adult? Yeah. That I used to love Sour Patch Kids. Like, eat them consistently. And then within the past few years, I would eat them and I'd get like horrible headaches and I'd feel like shit. And I'd be like, why is this happening? And people were like, well, you're getting older. Like you're not going to want that much sugar. And I was like, fuck, man. I didn't know that was the part, like a symptom of getting older. I thought I'd love these forever. So I don't really eat Sour Patch Kids anymore. So it's the same with like the cereal, the sugary breakfast. I don't always want tons of sugar in my breakfast. Doesn't exactly start the day off great. But anyways, now to the good stuff. To the good stuff, the Boston Bruins. I hate this because like it was just a few weeks ago that Tahoe happened, and I was like, this is the game. This is the team. This team has something, and they've been on like a downward spiral really ever since. Like they have a few games in there. Like they had the one against the Caps where they, you know, I think they won like 5-1. And they've had some in there where they've had like good games. They had the one the other night where Jake DeBrusque scored. But then you have these stinkers, and it just hits the fact that this is just an inconsistent team. Now, does that end? Does the inconsistency ever end, or does it just keep continuing?
I mean, you're trying to find like some, you know, positives or, you know, something you can build off of. Like even when they had a few really bad games earlier this year where, you know, they give up 7 goals to the Islanders and they give up 6 goals to the Rangers. You're like, all right, well, a lot of this is, you know, miscues from the defense. You know, stuff that it gets tightened up. We saw last year where I think they let up, you know, 14 goals in 2 games to the Canucks and the Flames. But that happens where you have just,
I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. You just have defensive breakdowns. You've got a lot of young guys back there. It's not great, obviously, but that's something that you can tighten up. Usually you can get that out of your game. to go from that game on Thursday where it seemed like everything was taking a big step forward. You had DeBrusque breakthrough. Krejci got a goal in the power play. Top line was a top line. Zach Senyshyn goes into the lineup and looks like the best fourth liner they've had all season, which is maybe more of an indictment on some of the other guys than what Zach Senyshyn brought, but he looked great. And then you go from that into that game on Saturday, and I think that was the worst loss of the season by far. That game was awful. That game was dreadful. Like, that had no life. Like, when, like, the 10th most concerning thing was that Brendan Lemieux knocked Frederick into the bench and, like, nothing happened. Like, the Rangers kicked their ass in that game and then also, like, just had their way with them too. Like, Trouba was, like, trading slashes with Bergeron the whole game. Yeah, Frederick gets hit. Nothing gets counted for there. And then, I mean, you have no high danger scoring chances. Keith Kincaid was, like, counting sheep, you know.
Oh, yeah.
In the net. Had not, like, was just chilling. Like, nothing was getting close. You lose Senyshyn, which is a tough hit because that gave you kind of your first spark in a while, and I think they needed that. And now, unfortunately, for the second year in a row, kind of his stint up here has been, you know, marred by injury. But that, you know, the addition of Zach Senyshyn to lineup shouldn't make a break. You not having zero, you know, you having 0-5-5 high danger looks or going 0-5 on the power play. I mean, that game, I don't know how you draw any positives from that game. Like, it's sooner or later, you just got to, like, you know, figure this shit out because you can't even draw any positives from that game. It wasn't like there's some encouraging shift. No one brought anything that game. And again, it was another one where when the top line's not going, you're the way this team's built right now, the way they're contributing on offense, you're screwed. Like, that, you had nothing going on there when that top line was off. And, you know, Marchand's obviously nursing an injury now, because he didn't look like himself in that game. The defense as a whole, I mean, again, it's one of those things where, if it wasn't for Halak, that very well could have been a 7-0 blowout, right?
Oh, even, yeah.
You know, the final score didn't tell just how lopsided that game was. So, yeah, I mean, it's been an issue this whole year in terms of consistency, right? I don't think they've won back-to-back games since February 10th and 12th.
The 12th, so, yeah.
And again, this isn't like it's they're going up against the gauntlet of, you know, the Islanders and the Capitals and all this stuff and, you know, back-to-back matchups or stuff like that. It's like this was kind of a stretch here where you should have been piling on points. You're playing the Rangers. You're playing, you know, you had the Devils a couple of times. Like, you lost to Scott Wedgwood and Keith Kincaid and got shut out.
Not just lost, shut out.
Yeah, exactly. So, and now, congrats, like, you're, you know, treading water, or if you even want to say that might be a positive statement, is treading water right now at this point. But, like, here you go against the Penguins for two games when you're already shorthanded. Two games and two nights. Penguins are 11-2 at home. Good luck. This is the situation you built for yourself where you're not collecting points against a team you should beat. Now here comes the Penguins. So.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, this isn't something we're used to with, like, the Bruins under Bruce Cassidy. I feel like they don't have a lot of these, like, letdowns. And that was kind of a weird thing. But again, like, that speaks to this team. They're just inconsistent. And so I want to go back to a comment Sweeney made, and I think we've talked about this a little bit, but I want to go a little more in depth on it. He mentioned last week, in his media availability, that a shakeup, you know, they would shake things up. And to me, if you can't see that you need to shake things up after Saturday, like, if that game, I know it's a one game, I know it's a one-off, or it's, you know, just one game, but it's not a one-off because this inconsistency continues to happen and you continue to lose to teams you shouldn't lose to. And to me, like, that shakeup needs to happen. So my question is, what is the shakeup? Like, are you going to trade Chris? Are you going to, like, waive Chris Wagner? Are you going to, like, what are you going to do to send a message? Because again, a lot of these times when you make a big deal, if you make a big deal, like, let's say they do go ahead and trade Jake DeBrusque, or, I mean, you wouldn't do it, but if he was healthy and you traded, like, Brandon Carlo to like, send a message, I guess, you know, to trade a guy who's not, you know, like a Bergeron or a Marchand, but the next rung tier, of people. Yeah. Next tier. If you mess that up, your job, you're done. Like, that, you can't mess those deals up. But what is the shake? Like, what realistically will be the shakeup with this team?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it'd be a situation where it's like, are we going to trade Brennan Carlo just for the shock value, right? Or
yeah, no, but
like that, you know, it's, I think it would probably be something where, you know, maybe a guy gets waived on the fourth line, or, you know, they get sent down to Providence and they clear waivers, which you run that kind of risk. But whether it be something like that, or, well, even like, you know, if they wanted to like put Wagner on waivers, or put him down to Providence just to send a message, it's like, I don't know if even a team would pick him up because he's got 3 years on that contract. So I don't know who would really take him in that situation.
And I don't know what message, I get that Wagner's a big guy on the team, but, you know, it's, I don't know if that sends the biggest message to the group, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it could be pulling the trigger on a trade, you know, before April 12th, which I think they need to do anyway. I don't think you can wait that long, because you're in this spot where all of a sudden you're going to be in fifth or fourth place with just a few more weeks to go in the regular season. You got to wait, you know, at least a week for a guy to get here, to get cleared, all this stuff. So you can't wait until the actual deadline to do it. But yeah, I think it's either sitting a bunch of guys, which I think you saw again from that, the game where Senishin was in there, and how much, you know, they, that fourth line had energy. They had, you know, two odd man rushes. They were possessing the puck. And then what do you know, Senishin comes out and that fourth line played like shit on Saturday. So like, you would think that would give people a wake up call, but apparently not. Whether it's, you know, bringing up more guys from Providence, I know, Mark Diver, by the time this podcast drops, so obviously we'll see what happens, whether how drastically different the lineup is, but, you know, he mentioned that, you know, guys like Kuhlman and Jack Kashan and I think Oscar Steen were promoted to the taxi squad. So I don't know if they're going to be down, and I don't know if that's just those roster moves happen every single game. Like, it's not worth reporting on them all the time because it's usually just cap management. Like, I think Frederick has gone from the taxi squad to the NHL yes. squad like 50 times this year. So
yes.
sometimes it's not worth reading into it, but if it's a situation where they bring up some of those guys, I mean, at this point, like, as long as you're not rushing the development, like, people want like Lauko. And I think Mark Diver said, you know, he's 20 years old, give him some time to marinate, which is true. But if it's like a guy like Oscar Steen, who I think is projected as being like a bottom six guy, Jack Kashan, who's been fantastic down in Providence, like, screw it. What do you have to lose right now? Like, what are you losing from that fourth line? Like, that you're getting them right now, which is nothing, right? Like, there's only so much you can do to send a message without drastically, you know, augmenting your team. And again, if you have a big trade, you know, if like they're working on like this big blockbuster deal, then of course you're going to augment your team. And that's what you have to do. But you also don't like just move, you know, pieces for the sake of like sending a message that you're going to regret down the road. Like, I, you know, as soon as the game ends, you've got people who are like, I got to trade Craig Smith and Charlie Coyle and all this. I was like, all right, well, you're not going to do that just from a realistic standpoint. You're not going to just like up, you know, shuffle up all that part of your lineup. But you need to send a message somehow. So whether it's, you know, a bunch of guys sit and you give these Providence guys who've been playing great down there a chance to succeed in their spot, like, go for it. Because right now, what are you getting from those guys at this point? So we'll see what happens. I mean, whether it's guys from Providence or, you know, giving, I don't know, like a Greg McKegg a look or something like that, which like
played one game
and you know what? He did his job in that game against the Rangers. He was what you expect from a fourth line guy. So we'll kind of see what they do. But I mean, it's evident. We've been talking about this all the time, but they've got to make some changes because the roster, the way it's built right now, you're not even going to, you know, we're not even talking about going winning the cup. You're not even, you're going to get smoked in the East division at this point, the way they're playing like this.
Well, that's the thing. And that's why that a move needs to be made. And, you know, we've talked at length about what they should do. Everybody knows top six forward, top four defenseman. You know, if you can get one, if you can get two, great. You got to do one at least. And maybe a depth defense. Like, this team needs pieces. And again, like right now, it's Monday morning. They're fourth place, 32 points. The Flyers in fifth, 29 points. That's a team that should be a lot better. Like, yes. The Flyers have just been dreadful.
They're being bailed out by how bad the Flyers are playing. So
yes. Yes. And so to me, like, again, the shakeup has to come and we'll see what the shakeup is. Like, how much do you want to shake up this roster? How much do you really want to overturn things? Like, again, to me, there's four guys on this team who are not expendable, who you cannot touch. And that's McAvoy, Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak. Those are the four. You know, you can't, like, under no circumstances should those guys ever be traded. The rest, Now, I'm not saying trade. This is not saying me. This is not me saying trade Rask or trade Krejci. It's just those guys are expiring contracts. So, like, you need an elite starting goalie, and you need a number two center. And also, like, what is Krejci really going to get you in a trade? Not a heck of a lot, unless you were like down with the Devils at the bottom of the division. You wouldn't really trade Krejci. There's no real net value there. But it, you know, again, if I don't know what circumstance you would trade a Coyle or a Smith, and I don't know why you would do it. Like I to me doesn't really make a lot of sense unless you're getting something better, like right. clearly better, which I don't know if that's going to happen. Cause again, these guys' values are at their lowest. Like
exactly.
That's the funny thing to me is when people say like trade someone because they're not doing well. And it's like, well, you're trading them at their lowest value. Like Jake DeBrusque, essentially this offseason, if you traded DeBrusque this past offseason, probably could have one for one gotten Ekholm. Like that, I think probably could have happened. Not now, not even close. Like, so I think people like you don't want to trade guys at their lowest values. It's like stocks. We always talk stock. We go back to stock. I always go back to stocks. But I don't know. Like I to me, and what's funny is like, I think it was Pierre LeBrun or Elliot Friedman. One of them tweeted a story about how they wanted Winnipeg to get Matthias Ekholm. And I was, and that, you know, goes back to the whole, there's not a lot of top four left shot D. It's mainly just Ekholm on the market. And every team is gunning for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now the price is going to go right up.
Oh, yeah. And it's also one of those situations, too, where there's also teams that need Ekholm that probably need him more than you do. Like, the Bruins definitely could use him, but, like, look at the Flyers, right? Kyle Hart's not been playing very well. Their defense is definitely a weak point. They can score goals, but what they're missing, especially, is a guy like Ekholm. So if you're going to get into a bidding war with them, like, you know, they've at least got guys on the NHL level who they can probably part ways with if they're more comfortable doing, like Goss to spare or a few other guys. So it's going to be a challenge. Like, it's, and again, if you miss out on Ekholm, it's not like, all right, you've got other options there. It's like, you know, there's not even like a guy who's like a tier below. Like, let's say they're looking for a top six forward like they were a few years ago, and they got like Marcus Johansson, who's like a really, really good third liner. You make do with that, and it worked out pretty well for them. It's not like you go from, like, Matthias Ekholm to, like, a guy who's a B tier. You got, like, Mark Stahl, right? Like, it's
Jamie Oleksiak.
Yeah, it's not ideal for what you're looking for. So, it's going to be tough. There's a lot of teams, even teams that view themselves as contenders or at least in the playoff hunt, that are going to be vying for the same 5 to 10 guys, right? So you know, we'll have to see how it goes, but the Bruins are not alone in what they need to fix, and unfortunately they've got a lot of holes to address.
I just had a realization in my head of like Sweeney coming out the day after the deadline or the day of the deadline and saying, you know, we have guys in Providence, we're good with our group. They're gonna make a move though. They made a move every year the past bunch of years. I don't expect them to not make a move. If there's ever been a year they need to make a move, it is this year they need to make moves. So I just, to me, like after Saturday's game, that's the game where you go, holy shit, we need to make a move. And that I think that really, you know, again, like, and Sweeney's a guy who's not really very open about all his things. He's not the biggest, you know, talker, so to speak, and giving away all what he wants to do and what he's trying to do. But he was pretty open last week, kind of being like, no, we need to, we're totally open to shaking things up and change needs to come. So I would moves are going to be made. It's just when and who. But yes, very, very positive episode of Bruins Beat this week. Yeah, lots of good stuff.
I liked when we talked about cereal more, to be honest with you, but
that was more fun. That was more fun. And maybe we'll do a cereal podcast. I bet that comedian from Pittsburgh, he probably has a great bit on cereal.
I bet he has some zany takes. I bet when he has Lucky Charms, he takes all of the actual cereal and just has the marshmallows. It's so
cool. Oh my God. Oh my God. No one's ever done that before.
I know. I bet
that's new. That's new. He's so wacky. He's so crazy. Crazy with a K too. The craziest. If he had a radio show, like, I forget it. What was his name? Dan Johnson.
It was some generic Madden starting name that they give you,
yes.
John Smith.
Yeah, that jamoke. He would do a bit on cereal, you know, doing zany stuff. But at any rate, Connor, before I let you go, is there anything that you would like to plug?
Yeah, we're gonna be breaking down. Obviously, there's gonna be a key matchup against the Penguins, who are rolling right now, and the Bruins are not. So it's gonna be probably a couple of statement games for the Bruins in terms of just seeing their mettle and how they can get past the stretch here. Again, we could be looking at a few guys from Providence making their way up, so we'll do a breakdown on those guys. And of course, with the trade deadline now less than a month away, we'll be doing tons of previews of potential targets and who the Bruins could be looking at acquiring. So all that stuff will be over at bostonsportsjournal.com. So subscribe there. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that at ConnorRyan_93.
To all that, his name's Matt Light. I knew it was Matt like Light. A Madden line.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Matt Light. That was the guy. Matt Light. He has a goat in his bio. So obviously.
Oh, sick.
He's the goat. He's just the goat. I'm surprised EDT hasn't gone at this guy. If you want to go look at Matt Light on Twitter. His profile picture is something EDT would like zoom in on and make fun of. So I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet. It's going to come, especially maybe this weekend because he's from Pittsburgh
right.
So maybe we get the Matt Light banter going again. Maybe he'll come on the podcast.
Start another Crosby trade rumor, Evan. It was all your fault.
Oh yeah, it was all my fault. Forgot about that. I wrote it. I did that. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually. For those who don't remember, I didn't do that. But anyways, that has been this episode of Burnsby. That's Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky. You Burnsby listeners, have a great rest of your week.